for the first time since I've been serving the Lord, I actually saw Jesus Christ standing in here tonight. And I have never seen that before. I was totally in awe. So many people are starting to see, are seeing angels right now. I've seen angels before, but I haven't seen them for a while. So I'm believing with Jesus walking here tonight, standing right there with looking at me and smiling, that the angels are next. And I want each one of you, please, to be watching for the angels. And you know, angels come in all disguises. You know that, don't you? You could, somebody might walk up to, well, just like the thing they played at the beginning of the service. Somebody might walk up to you and ask you for a quarter. And it could be an angel in disguise, and you're being tested to see if you'll help some poor person along the way. You never know. You know, the Bible says you entertain angels unawares, right? You never know in what form they're going to come. I want you to know one thing. If you're really serving God with all of your heart, I have been what I consider very privileged to have God use my face. When people were in trouble, He would take my face to them and I would tell them something that would keep them from being hurt. And I would say, I wasn't there. And they said, yeah, you were. And I said, no. You know, and that was an angel. But because they knew me, because they trusted me, God used my face. It was an angel, but used my face to give them a word of warning. And they were kept safe. So you see, this is what God does with you when you really sell yourself out to Him. And people get to trust you and get to know you and know that you work for God with all your heart. And if they get in trouble, God will send your face to them. And, you know, God can use your face to save somebody. I really, you know, this is really burning in my spirit that we really need to be expecting the angelic visitations. Because with what is coming down the road, God said the angels are going to work for us. And they're going to come and talk to us. And they will come in a visible form and speak to us just like they did in the Old Testament. And I don't want you to be afraid when one of them come into your bedroom and tap you on your foot, you know, and say, wake up here, I have a message from the Lord. Because that is what happens. It used to happen to the ministers of old, you know, in this world, that the angels would come in at night and they would call His name and they'd get awake. They'd be sitting on the edge of their beds or sitting in their rocking chairs and, you know, and just have a big conversation with them, with a message from the Father. Now, wouldn't you like to get your message from the Father that way? Well, then, you know, what we can believe for, we can have. I want you all to be believing that God, because it is going to happen to those who believe, that God is going to send His angelic host to you to help you, to lead God and direct you. All right, angelic visit activity is increasing in this season. There is huge angelic activity being seen in this season. Over the weekend and this week, I keep seeing angels holding torches of fire. Now, this is what really, really excited me. They are standing, waiting beside the people of God. And as they worship and press in, these angelic hosts lean forward with their torches. And they place these torches on the hearts, the minds, the eyes, the mouths, feet, hands, and ears of the people of God. As they worship. I really wanted to read this before we did praise and worship, just this one little paragraph, but it just didn't fit in, so I didn't. But let's read that again. Over the weekend and this week, I keep seeing angels holding torches of fire. They are standing, waiting beside the people of God. You understand, right there beside you. And as they worship and press in, these angelic hosts lean forward with their torches, and they place these torches on the hearts, minds, eyes, mouths, feet, hands, and ears of the people of God. There is significant and sudden increase of his fire over the people of God, bringing sudden alignment in the spiritual sense of God's people. And these angelic hosts bend down while you worship and press in. They are igniting. Now let's just stop there. God has been having us talk about the fire of God for quite some time now. God has been trying to get his fire deep down inside of us, because we need that fire to go forth in this hour and to do the things that God is calling us forth to do. Now, this fire is going to do all kind of things. And this is what this, she says, and as these angelic hosts bend down while you worship and press in, they are igniting your hearts. They are burning away lies. They are igniting truth and setting fire to the seeds of the word you are sowing into your heart, releasing exploding revelation. So as these angels reach down, you know, and you're praising, God is placing with his side of you his word of truth, of revelation. He's going to bring great revelation of his truth, of his word, with this fire. Or he's going to touch your minds. They are igniting deeper revelation of the truth that we have the mind of Christ and releasing divine heavenly wisdom strategy. Racing thoughts and tormenting thoughts are being broken as the people of God align their minds with the word. This torch is going to release a divine heavenly wisdom and strategy so that we can use this in our walk with God in this dispensation. You have to understand this walk that we're walking, nobody's ever walked this way before. This is a brand new walk for the body of Christ. God's been telling us for years now, church is not going to be as usual, and it isn't. And so we have to have the mind of Christ constantly, so that we can move the way God wants us to move and do what God wants us to do. Now, this is very imperative that you understand this tonight. She said, racing thoughts and tormenting thoughts are being broken as the people of God align their minds with the word. How many of you can say that your mind is your worst enemy? All kind of thoughts go through your mind all the time. And see, it's saying as these angels reach down with this torch and touch your mind, this kind of junk's going to be broken. Isn't that powerful? Come on. They're going to be touching the eyes. Sight-defying natural atmospheres. Sight to see into the unseen. And see, God has been telling us he wants to see into the supernatural. And the only way we're going to do that is if these angels with these torches touch our eyes and open our eyes up. So that, aren't you tired of just looking at the stupid world? Don't you want to see into the supernatural? Don't you want to see beyond? Don't you want to see through the eyes of Jesus and see what Jesus sees? What the angels see? I do. They're going to touch your mouth. Increase in declaring the word and messages of his heart with greater boldness and conviction. Increase in declaring the word and messages of his of God's heart with greater boldness and conviction. You're not going to stand around and just be just a little quiet little mouse giving the word of God. You're going to be very, very bold with the word of God. And then when you open your mouth, the words are going to come out there blasting. And you're going to say, that came from me. Yes, it did. Because that torch, when it touched your mouth, caused that to happen. There is a greater anointing or on declaration for breakthrough. There are words flowing that break through impossibilities, opening up new levels of the supernatural. There are words out there, really, saints of God, that God wants to use and have you use to get your breakthrough into the supernatural realm. You know, you're going to have to, you know, I always say I don't like who I am today because I've always been a very quiet person and I'm not quiet no more. But, you know, more and more, I mean, I do realize what God's doing, because it takes boldness in this hour to defy the enemy. You have to have boldness when you stand before the enemy, because he's not going to back down if you're just going to stand there just whispering things to him. Are you understanding this? So if God's causing you to be bold and straightforward, let him use you that way, because in this hour, this is what it takes. All right, the torch is going to touch your hands. There is an increase in the expression of giftings. new levels of release in the giftings of God in lives, and greater conviction to pull down by faith what is ours in Christ against injustice and impossibilities. Let's read that again. There is an increase in the expression of giftings. You know, your giftings are healing, you know, in prophecy, and those, that's your giftings. There's going to be new levels of release in the giftings of God. In other words, our gifts are going to be bolder than they've ever been before. In lives, and greater conviction to pull down by faith what is ours. In other words, we're going to know that we know that we know that we have what it takes to pull down. God said whatever we need is in heaven. All we have to do is pull it down. And the reason why we haven't received it, we do not have the boldness, or she's calling it a greater conviction, to actually believe, yeah, that gift is there, and yes, I can pull it down. See, we have to go into the heavenlies boldly. God says, come boldly before the throne of grace. Isn't that what he said? He doesn't say, come crawling on your hands and knees. He says, come boldly to the before the throne of grace. And ask God for, you know, say, God, you said everything I needed was in your storehouse. I'm pulling it down today. I'm receiving everything you have for me. God told me years ago, daughter, you walk under an open heaven. But see, I didn't walk under an open heaven because I didn't have enough boldness to pull that open heaven down. Are you understanding this? See, God can tell you anything. But if you don't have a deep conviction inside of you that you can really do that, then you're not going to receive it. Tonight, I just want each one of you to open up your spirit man right now and receive that great conviction that what God said you can have, you can have. It's the enemy that's stopping us from receiving what God said we can have, because the enemy's making us believe, oh, well, now, really, do you really think God wants to do that for you? Yes, he really does want to do that for you. Yes, he really does want you to have more than enough. Yes, he really does want you to be blessed. And yes, he really does want to heal you. We need to quit allowing the enemy to make us believe that God doesn't work in that realm anymore. All right? There is a new level of favor upon what we put our hands to. As we are led by him and we steward what has been before us. In other words, God said, whatever you place your hand to do, I'll do it. And in this season, there's a new favor. All right, so what am I saying? If I lay my hands and somebody say, be healed in the name of Jesus, there's a new favor. Now God's going to be there and he's going to do that healing. Are you understanding that? Whenever you're doing deliverance in the name of Jesus, lay your hands on that person. In the name of Jesus, come out right now. And God's going to let you have favor in the heavenly places. And those spirits are going to have to leave immediately. Not wage warfare with them for hours upon hours to get one to move. There are huge breakthroughs and increases in healing. And those with healing anointings are moving into new levels of increase. If you know that you have healing in your hands, then you're going to find you have an increase for that. You're going to find out that no matter who you touch or what you do, that people are going to be healed. Are you listening here? You know, like with Peter, when he walked down the street, just his very shadow healed the people, right? God's doing the very same thing in this dispensation. When I was first on the scene, just walking by people, they were healed. Why is that happening right now? Because I don't have that deep conviction that the anointing is still there. I'm just being honest with you. I'm trying to teach you something here tonight. I don't have that deep conviction that anointing is still there. And God said, daughter, your giftings are still there. They're still alive. Just use them. But when I step forth sometime to use them, I'm not like that now. But when I was stepping forth to use them, I would say to myself, is this really going to take place? So you can't do that. You have to have a deep conviction. Yes, it is going to take place, devil. And when I lay hands on somebody, they are going to be healed. Or whatever I'm doing, this is going to occur because God said so. So if the enemy comes to you and tries to make you believe you don't have no power and authority anymore, you need to really kick him in the teeth. I've been down that road. Don't allow him to do that. Anybody that can raise, that God uses to raise the dead now, come on. The anointing's still there. Anybody that walks by people and they're just healed without even praying for them or touching them, the anointing is still there. The anointing did not go anywhere. The gifting is still there. It's the enemy came and kept talking to me, telling me, you don't have it anymore, you don't have it anymore, you don't have it anymore, till I believed I didn't have it anymore. Are you listening? So guys, don't let the enemy tell you don't have it anymore. Just when he tells you, say, thank you. I know I do, and I know it's double. If I didn't have it, I really didn't have it, you wouldn't even bother to tell me I didn't have it. You're just telling me I don't have it, so I don't use it. All right? So I said there are huge breakthroughs and increases in healing, and those with healing anointings are moving into new levels of increase. There is greater increase in finances and abundance to give and release more. They're going to touch your feet to go further than you have ever been before. There are new paths, new realms, new doors, and new opportunities to take more ground. To see his kingdom established through you further than ever before with signs and wonders following you. God is doing that. How many of you have been prophesied over that God's going to open new doors for you? You're going to go walk in a different path. It's God. He's going to take you through whatever he said he's going to take you through. It's to see your feet move into the enemy's camp with greater victory and take back what he has stolen. Everybody in here, I think you've been through deliverance, and you need, if the devil comes at you and tries to make you think you're not delivered, you just need to stomp in his ugly head and tell him, uh-uh. No, I am delivered, and you're not going to come make me believe otherwise. You're not going to bring your little imps in and take camp again, because this vessel does not belong to you. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? It's to take the gospel further than you've ever taken it before. There is greater ground being taken for the Lord. All right, then this torch is going to touch your ears to hear at a deeper level than you have heard before. Distraction, static, and noise being removed, which releases a great clarity to hear what the Lord is saying and what he is doing in the spirit. Now I want to stop there. God has been telling you people listen very closely, because I'm going to be speaking to you constantly. And I'm not going to speak to you loudly, but in a still small voice. But I'm going to direct your footsteps every day. So whenever you're worshiping before the Lord, these angels are going to come and touch your ears. And you're going to hear the Father in a deeper level than you've ever heard him before. There are new levels of accuracy. Greater encounters of his fire are being released upon you, releasing you suddenly into this new season through Rosh Hashanah. What has held you back in the past season is being suddenly burned away. Man, you guys have got to grasp hold of this tonight. Greater encounters of his fire are being released upon you, releasing you suddenly in this new season. I don't care where you've been, and I'm talking about in bondage with the devil. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how wide and deep your valley was. This is your time to be freed from all that junk. He is coming as an all-consuming fire and bringing the deep level of refining and purifying to release you into the new. Say that again. God is coming as an all-consuming fire and bringing the deep level of refining and purifying to release you into the new. God, you, a lot of you in your day, you know you've been going through a deep refining. You know God has gone deeper into you than he's ever gone into you before, and that's to bring you into the new. He had to purge away all the old so he could bring the new. And he told us a couple years ago, I cannot put new wine in old wineskins. So he said, I have to change you. Now, did you allow him to change you? That's the big question. Did you allow him to change you? He wants to, but you know, some people don't allow him to change them, and then they fuss when they get into a mess with God. Because you can get into a mess with God. You know that, don't you? These angelic hosts with their torches of fire are heralding and signaling your entrance into the new season to go deeper than you've ever been. What's God been telling us? Come spend intimate time with me. Go deeper in me. He wants all the distractions of the world wiped away, and he wants you to just go deeper in him. further and wider than you have ever been before, and to soar to heights and levels above and beyond what you have dreamed about. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to ask you guys, are you really ready to go higher than you've ever gone before?
Yes.
Are you really ready for people to say, look at the fool? Because that's what they're going to say about you. Because, see, you're going to be a fanatic.
Yes.
And you're going to do things that nobody else is doing.
Yes.
Now, if you're still walking, you know, around here and being, what's the word I want to use? You know, anytime anybody, at times you do something and somebody says, what are you doing? And you get all upset about that. You're not ready to go higher or deeper. You're really not. Offense, that's not what a word. If you get offended at what people say to you, you're not ready yet to go into that higher realm. You have to get rid of offense. So you ready to throw that offense in the garbage can tonight and leave it there?
Yes.
Quit being offended by everything that comes down the road. Come on. You know, the devil's going to, if you're a person that carries offense, the devil's going to make sure you get offended at every turn. So you can just tell the devil, I'm not getting offended no more, devil. And mean it. Don't get offended anymore. Walk in the liberty God has given you. We sing all this stuff. We are free. We shout and we scream. We stomp our feet. But are you really? See, you have to search your own soul. Are you really free? Or is this something that you still head knowledge and it hasn't yet registered in your spirit, man? We can believe a whole lot of things up here that never get to our spirit, man. You have to go from here to here or bypass this and go straight to your spirit, man. This is where a lot of people fail and fall. They never get it from their heart, head knowledge. They never get the head knowledge into their heart. So tonight I want everybody in here to get all your head knowledge down into your heart. You tell your mind, your stupid mind, shut up. And I'm going to put all that there and all those seeds and everything else. I'm going to put them down in my spirit, man, tonight. And I'm going to cover them with the blood of Jesus. And they're going to bear good fruit. Man, you should be doing that. So I wrote, are you ready for the fire tonight? This is what God wanted me to ask you. Are you ready for your Lord to consume you with his torch of love and freedom? This is what he wants to know. Are you really ready for that tonight?
Yes.
Then you need to really keep your spirit man open. Now, I'm not going to tell you everybody's getting a blank. I'm not doing an altar call yet. I'm going to read this other thing I have here because they both go together. But I want you to really, are you really ready to receive the fire of God so you can go higher into the spirit realm than you've ever gone before? It doesn't matter where, you know, come on, guys. I don't know how many years God had me in my desert. He called it my winter months. And he said, kept telling me, don't die in your winter months because they were bad winter months. I mean, it was horrible years I spent there, but God had me I was still preaching. He made me preach. I was still doing everything I should do, but I was going through hell because I was in that backside of the desert and God was purifying. God was rearranging because he wanted to bring me to this place I'm at today. So, you know, you're not the only one in the boat. If you're being refined, there's a whole lot more in that boat with you than just you. If you were riding the gravy train and I was riding the gravy train and all of a sudden the gravy ran out. And I was just there flat, high and dry. You're not the only one that's been there. Others have been there before you and others are going to be there after you. So you have to go through the refining fire. You have to let God just get down in there and just purge everything out of you that is not of him. You have to become that holy vessel of honor that God can work through. And you can't be complaining. My request to God was, God, just let me sit down. Because it was horrible. No, you're not going to sit down. Some of you, he's had you sit down. And you're saying, let me stand up. You just sit. Believe me, you're more comfortable sitting than you would be if you were standing and have to do your work and going through this stuff too. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you tonight? You know, Aaron and Adam, he's brought them on the scene because it's fresh meat, fresh faces, you know, fresh voices. And he's going to put, if you've noticed, a lot of fresh voices out there, fresh faces out there that are not afraid of the enemy. They know what it is to be bound up. You know, these people are out there, and they know what it is to be bound up with the enemy, but they also know what it is to be free. And they're like Paul. And Paul said, "You're not stopping me." And Paul went on and did the works for the Father, even in bondage, you know, being in prison. So are you ready to do this? Are you ready to go forth as a mighty warrior in the army of God and forget about the junk that you had to go through to get there? Sometimes the valleys go really deep. And you think, "I'm never going to come out on the other side." And God said, would say to me, "Daughter, there's a light at the end of the tunnel." And finally I said, "Where is the end of the tunnel?" Because I never saw any light. It was all darkness. Come on. All right. God says, "Ask me for grace to release." I have recently talked with more than one person who described the first half of almost every day as an outright conflict with God. Are you weary from your wrestling matches with God? I said the other morning, "I would just like to get out of bed one day with peace. Instead of fighting, the minute you open your eyes, the devil's right there staring you in the face and he starts." I think of Jacob who wrestled with Elohim and ultimately was renamed Israel. Jacob was renamed Israel. I believe that Jacob was not convinced that he was to be called Israel. I think there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that could be doing a whole lot better things for God and mightier things for God if they could truly believe that they are a true child of God and that God has called them and anointed them. But there's that still small voice saying, "Well, look what you did, you know, blah, 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 blah." And it keeps making you believe, "I'm not worthy to do the works of the Father." You need to get that voice out of your head. You need to crucify that thing. Put it on the altar and just burn it up. I believe that Jacob was not convinced that he was to be called Israel. Without going into detail, do you think that Jacob's adversary was himself? I believe there's a lot of people in this room tonight. I was my own adversary. I had myself convinced God was finished with me. Now, I'm being honest with you so you know what you're supposed to do. And God kept saying, "Daughter, just hang on. Just hang on. Don't die in your wind. My daughter, I'm with you." But then I had myself convinced that God was never going to use me again. When God brought me on this scene for, 20-some years, it was just miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Then for nothing. You know, go from that to nothing for 10 years. That was the most horrible experience of my life. And I talked about over the pulpit how it was so dry. And whenever you're walking in the glory realm and then you're walking in whatever realm that was, you do not like it. But see, you guys don't have to do that. That season's past. We've crossed over the Jordan. Now we're in the promised land and we're going to be doing the things that God has told us we're going to be doing. We're going to be walking with great signs, wonders, and miracles all the time. Amen? All right, so I was my own worst adversary. And I think some of you sitting there tonight, you're your own worst adversary. You keep saying, you know, keep blaming your own self and keep convincing yourself that you're never going to do another thing for God. Well, get out of that mud pie because you are. Jacob had a major identity crisis. When Jacob arrived at the revelation that God wanted to bless him, he released the name of Jacob for his God ordained name Israel. Let's read that again. Jacob had a major identity crisis. When Jacob arrived at the revelation that God wanted to bless him, Jacob released the name of Jacob for his God ordained named Israel. He finally said, "I am Israel." You know, "I am still Barbara." You know what I'm saying? "I'm still Adam. I'm still Alan." You know, something clicks up here and you realize the enemy's been holding me in bondage. Jacob could only be transformed by the power of God when Jacob released himself. See that? When Jacob released himself, he became Israel. So, God's question to you tonight, what do you need to release? The nature of the name Israel is that we have prevailing power with God. Now, did you hear that? Don't get distracted. The nature of the name Israel is that we have prevailing power with God. God's power will sever every cord of unbelief, releasing us into faith in the precious promises of God. In an unrighteous wrestling mode, we are unable to receive from God. In an unrighteous, if you're wrestling with God and you're unrighteous, you are unable to receive from God. Because without God-empowered release, we are caught up in a death cycle of dead works. And dead works is a struggle of death. Are you listening here? God wants to move in each one of your lives in a mighty way tonight. And he doesn't want you to leave here the same as you came. He does not. He's trying to get you to think about what's going on in your life. He wants you to think what's been holding you in bondage. Is it the devil? Which I don't believe. I think it's yourself. I've been down that road, so I know. I watched my own self go through it. And so I recognize it in other people. Examples of God-empowered release. As God is developing our ministry, now listen to what you read. As God is developing our ministry, you're not developing it. There is much that must be released in order for the anointing of God to be revealed. The Apostle Paul boasted consistently in the power of God's grace, which ultimately consumed him. He just knew they knew that he walked in God's grace. And he had no problems. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Paul knew that grace was always available. So if you slip, don't stay slipped. Get back up and repent and say, by the grace of God, God's grace lifts me back up again. Adam and Aaron, do you think you won't slip even tonight? Do you think that something might pop its ugly head up, you know, to make you think I'm not worthy to be reverend? Of course it's going to. You say, but by the grace of God, I am an ordained child of God. I am the righteous of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us well. Maybe you have a physical challenge and have desired a healing for a long time. As long as you cannot believe that as an Israel of God, you are deserving of God's power, you will never receive your healing. Are you listening? What did we say the nature of the name Israel meant? The nature of the name Israel is that we have prevailing power with God. God is asking all of us to believe that healing is his wholehearted desire. God, give us your power. Every time before you minister, you should always say, God, give me your power. God, let the Holy Spirit be so prominent in me that they don't see me. All they see and hear is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And when you do that, the power of God can't help but be in you and around about you. Again, we are being lovingly pressed. To ask God for his empowering grace to let go of any sickness and challenges that we have in our life. God is going to keep pressing us and pressing us and pressing us until we understand that we are children of God, that the giftings of God are real. They're yes and amen. And God, the Word of God says when he gives you a gift, he never takes it away. The Word of God says that. So even if you're out there sinning, you can still walk in the gifts. I knew people that did that. And that's how I know that it was in the Word that he never takes it from you. I said, God, but these people were in sin. And look, they're operating in the gifts. He said, at one point they were righteous. And I gave them their gifts. Now they're in sin. But my Word says I never take my gifts back. That's why you need to watch it. But see, with me, when I was going through my bad time, I said, God, don't use me. I do not want to be used until you're through purifying me. That's just who I am. I just feel like if I can't be holy and righteous before the Lord, then I don't want to stand up and have people say, oh, look what's going on. No, I don't want that. So I always make sure that I'm in right standing with God. And then God can work through me if he so desires. And God gets all the glory. Amen. Whatever the Spirit of God reveals that is a hindrance to the receiving of the kingdom of God, simply ask for his grace or divine ability to let it go. Whatever the Spirit of God reveals that is a hindrance to the receiving of the kingdom of God, simply ask for his grace or divine ability to let it go. Now, I know that in the past, God has set some of you people free from your habits. and you nonchalantly pick them back up again. So God in his sovereignty says, okay, since you decided you was going to go pick them back up again, now you're going to have to work to be set free. And so you've been laboring to be set free again. But in this dispensation, God said he's just going to set you free now. He's let you press and press and press and press until you just about got discouraged. But you're the one to step back into the sin. God didn't. Nobody pushed you into it. You did it all on your own. So why are you upset about God? I mean, with God. God didn't do it. You did it. Don't say the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. The devil can't make you do anything you don't want to do. So don't even use that excuse. Not in front of me, anyhow. I don't want to hear that. The devil didn't make you do anything. That was in your nature to do it, and so you did it. I always tell you, be honest with yourself, don't I? Because God tells me my people are self-deceived. You deceive yourself, you make yourself believe, well, the devil made me do it, you know, or whatever you make yourself believe. And that's not true. Because you have your own will. You make your own choices every day of what you're going to do. Acts 20 verse 32 says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted to no one silver, gold, or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. Paul said, I didn't ask anybody to keep me. I went to work and I kept myself and the people that traveled with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I just love Paul. He is really, you know, I know we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, but God put Paul in the word for a reason. He's an example of what we should be like as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's go back to verse 32. Paul says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So that's what I want you to really get in your spirit. You are serving a Father who is full of grace, and you are serving a Father who is able to build you up and to bring you forth. Even when the devil's telling you you've done shot your load and that God's never going to use you, say, that's not true. Because I know God's grace. I know God's grace. But also for you new guys or just coming into the kingdom, you don't have no place to sin. You don't have time to sin because the hour is late. And God has a great harvest of souls out there that he's trying to bring in. And yesterday, God dealt with me how serious the time is right now. The time is very, very, very serious. And God's going to send the lost souls into the house of God in a big rush. And he said, are my people ready to handle this load of people? He said, no, they're not. They're still trying to get their own selves together, not ready for the unsaved. But I'm going to send them in anyhow. And then what's going to happen, you're going to be held accountable for not being able to handle them when they come in. I just heard that from God. Because you've been in the house of God long enough, you sit under the anointing long enough that you should be cleansed, that you should be a strong tower that others can run into, that you could be a strong warrior for the Lord. No excuses anymore. Excuses went out the window. And whenever God, you stand before God and a holy angel might come down and you say, why couldn't you get that person saved? Why couldn't you bring them up into the heavenly realm? And you know, you stand your mouth wide open, he might say, well, goodbye and strike you dead. I don't know. We need to be ready. The Bible says be ready in season and out of season. I don't care what time of day or night. If God sends somebody your way, he wants you to minister to them. I need my sleep. No, you don't. No, you don't. What's the Bible say? You work while it's still day. That means night too. I want you guys to get very serious with your walk with God tonight. Paul released grace to his church in Ephesus so that they would be empowered to receive their God-given inheritance. And this is what God wants to do to you guys tonight. He wants to empower you with his grace. He wants his, so that you can receive your God-given inheritance. He wants the holy angelic host to touch you with that torch so you can go forth totally purified and totally full of the fire of God. So on fire for God that no matter where you go, people are going to know there's something different about you. You shouldn't be the same as the world. People should look at you and know there's something. When I look at the world, I say, boy, there's something different about you. Don't you? Well, that's what the world should be saying about you. Boy, something's different about you. What's different about you? And what would you have? And you can tell them, I have the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would like to introduce you to him. And then introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you know what God has said? He said, we're going to have so much power in us and around us. And when people walk up to us, they're going to fall on their faces. I need to be saved. They're not even going to ask you what's different about you. The power of God is going to be so strong that they're just going to fall down at your feet and cry out that they need to be saved. Now, are you to that point yet? Come on. God wants you at that point tonight. The altar's open.